You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any brights yet? I do.
Just like that, Lady Greta told me, down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty, beer in the tackle box, out on the flat rock. Big Mac hook with only the right look, pour in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide, Papa's going.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host Clyde Torp of the Windstar Fishing Club. We are talking all things family fishing and kids fishing here this morning on Real Talk Radio. Now that school is out and families are getting ready for some summer fishing, planning some trips. So Clyde, thank you so much again for coming into the studio on this rainy, rainy, rainy Saturday morning. We appreciate it greatly.
My pleasure. Thank you.
How you doing over there? I noticed you jumped right into that breakfast sandwich. How's that tasting?
Oh, wow. That was great. You got to tell your hubby thank you. That was super.
Yeah. Thank you,
enjoyed
Captain
it.
Greg, for the breakfast delivery this morning in the rain. Yeah. His breakfast sandwiches are pretty legendary, I got to say, on the show here. So, all right, and we are going to head on over to line one because we've got Dave Westra with Lear's Economy Tackle standing by on line one, so I'm going to grab his call. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Debbie and Clyde.
Good morning.
How's it going up there in North Fort Myers?
It's going well. When I answered the phone, I told Rick, I said, it's practically speaking, it stopped because we're on the northern western edge of it, and it's just drops maybe and
just sprinkling a little bit.
Well, yeah, off and on. We may get a band come through here, but Rick hit me with liar, liar, your house is on fire thing.
And I that, did. You know. I said, come on, Dave, it's never going to stop. It's never going to stop. Stop lying to me. It's relentless.
Yeah, it definitely a good weekend for some, let's see, putting new line on your rods, tying some flies. What else, Dave?
Well, I'll tell you what. Amazingly, yesterday we were busy all day.
I bet.
From the time we opened the door in the morning. And it, you know, it's not going to sound right, but it amazes you just sometimes it's raining so hard outside, and the door opens, and here they come. Four or five people come walking in, and you kind of think, you know, what are these people doing out into this mess? But we stayed busy all day yesterday, so real fortunate business-wise. Because it, you know, I'm sure the folks that are in the live bait business that have smaller shops and things like that on the water suffer during days like these.
Yeah.
Just because of the rain and nobody's going out. Although yesterday, because of the low pressure, probably would have been a gangbuster day if you could have gotten out.
Yeah. Well, and I definitely saw quite a few people out there this past week, and me being out there this past week noticed some really nice catches and some good trips, so it's good.
But some of the guys that were coming in yesterday, in fact, a good number of them, were guys that fished the lock system, that fished Franklin, fished mm-hmm. Ortona. And they know that this water flow through that system here over the next week is going to be gangbusters. And so, I mean, that's what they were doing. They were getting jigs, mostly jig type fishing, but they were getting ready for the onslaught because I would imagine the snook, tarpon, big redfish, and jack fishing should be crazy up in both those areas, both Franklin and Ortona. So,
yeah, and Dave, what kind of reports were you hearing from the past week for folks who are getting out in the river, and any offshore reports?
They've been actually. My son Mike got some reports of guys that been fishing offshore, and inwards of about 130 foot of water, they caught some silkies. The grouper snapper fishing, it was good. I mean, nobody came back disappointed that they didn't catch a few a few reports of blackfin tuna offshore. The inside fishery is just like Jim said earlier. It's been good all week for practically all species of fish. The snook, redfish, trout fishery has been active in Lee and Charlotte County, particularly, and according to Jim, and Collier County has been pretty decent too. So fishing in general right now, you know, we're at that really, really good time of the year. The fish are active. They're moving out off of the beaches. They're moving, hanging around the passes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, folks need to, they get geared up or lured up or live baited up and head outside and first chance they get when this weather passes. Although I think up in our area, particularly, I'd say Northern Sound, Northern Shea Pass and Charlotte Harbor, the weather's going to break early. And it's already started to break. I see a little bit of, looking out of the window, I see a little bit of brightness to the northwest. So we're practically out of the mess.
Yeah, I think tomorrow folks should be able to get out. It should be past us by then.
Yeah,
so,
watching all those fishing reports from the week as this thing built, it varied from covering us all the way up into Charlotte County pretty good. And then some of the reports is it was going to move more southerly, and that's exactly what it did. We were always in the top, I'll say, third or quarter of the storm rather than being right in the middle of it. You know, I don't look forward to a summer of this kind of stuff. This, you know, we really kind of dodged a bullet on this one. This is our worst case scenario. Something early part of the year coming from the southwest, coming straight into us. It was fortunate that thing got started in the Pacific and got tied up into the mountains in Mexico and got beat down really pretty good, except for the rainy part. But if something would have gotten churned up in the Bay of Campeche and moved southwest here, our water temperature's high enough that it could have been it could have had a steamroller in here, but fortunately for us, it didn't happen.
Yeah, it's serving as a good reminder to get prepared because hurricane season is here.
Yeah.
That's right. It. Make sure you've got your preparedness plan put together and you can pick up those hurricane guides. I know they have them at all the area public stores, so that's always a good idea. Just make sure you've got your extra water, candles, flashlights, all that stuff ready to go. But Dave, this morning we're talking about family fishing, and obviously kids are out of school. Most of them got out this past week, and families are starting to plan their summer trip. So any tips and recommendations for families who are looking to get out on the water this summer?
Well, excuse me, the one thing over the years that I've noticed is when folks come in here with their kids, the dads and the granddads, you know, are all excited about their grandchildren and their children when they're young, trying to get them into the fishing sport, so to speak. And there is a tendency, I think, for particularly the grandparents to get kids to fish with stuff that's too big for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my guys, when they were growing up, when they were young, 4 or 5 in that area there, they were fishing with close face.
Yeah, like spin cast
reel, something that fit them. And ultralight and or ultralight spinning. Now, it's,
mm-hmm.
there was always a fine line as to when does a kid ready to start using spinning tackle versus something else. And I know with my guys, it was with Uncle John and myself fishing side by side with them. One day you'll turn around and you'll notice as one of the kids will pick up your spinning rod and open the bail and make the cast and use it properly.
Mm-hmm.
But both of my kids, after they got out of the spin cast thing, we've always fished them with ultralight rods than like 6-pound line. Consequently, they learn how to fight a fish versus some of the dads or granddads will hand a 6-year-old the 7-foot, 10- to 20-pound rod that's bigger than almost that their hands can handle.
Right, right.
And the outfit itself is way too big, and next thing you know, they're kind of semi-bored with it. Now, they're excited to fish with dad's stuff, don't get me wrong, but next
or mom's
thing you know,
stuff.
They're tired.
Or grandmom's stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And it's too big with them. And,
yeah.
And I think both of my guys learned how to fish rather than horsing the fish in all the time. They learned how to play fish because of the
lighter
tackle that they had to use. So.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Dave. And I know, you know, like most of us probably grew up fishing the Zebco 33. I know I had a Zebco Snoopy rod when I was a kid. But now they even have, I don't know if you've seen those, the Zebco Splash rods that they have that float. Have you seen those, Dave?
No.
They're made out of fiberglass. They don't sink.
If I did, I didn't pay attention to it, or maybe I should have.
Yeah, which is, you know, I'm kind of important because I'm sure there's a lot of kids that, you know, sometimes go to make a cast and whoops, all
let
of a sudden,
go.
Yeah, they let it go and the rod is in the water. So it's kind of nice that they have that available now. And I mean, that's perfect for pond fishing, for panfish, for bluegill and crappies and cichlids and all that kind of stuff with a basic hook and bobber rig. So, yeah, absolutely. Good to get them out there on the water.
I'll look into that. In fact, when I get off the phone, I'll get into this one catalog and see if this one company carries that, and I'll see if I can get a couple of those in or that, because it's real important to keep the kids busy and happy out on the boat. I think early on, I think it was Rob had mentioned that he thought girls had a little bit better attention span as to what they were doing when they're fishing, and the boys tended to maybe give up a little bit or want to read a comic book or want to go home, you know. And I think he's right about that. But I noticed that in the shop with women that come in with their husbands, and this happens on more than one occasion, is that there'll be somebody new to fishing, be a husband and wife in here, and they come in and the guys tie terrible knots because they're complaining about their line breaking all the time. It's not the line breaking, it's the poor knot system that they have. So we'll be going through tying, from my standpoint, a knot that I think that the guy will get, that he'll understand how to tie it. Well, that doesn't always happen. I could tie it 5 or 6 times, and then I'll have him do it, and he still can't get it right. And I'll look over at the wife, and she's been watching the whole thing. The wife gets it.
Well, today's the perfect day to practice tying knots.
Pardon me?
I said today's the perfect day to practice tying your knots.
Oh, yeah. And we encourage folks that if they haven't, trouble with their terminal setup to come in, we'll take the time with them to show them a proper knot. There are lots of knots, but a proper knot that will get them a good terminal tie up and something that they can understand to do. And in our area, you know, we're dealing with a population that's, and I hate to use this word because it almost makes my knees buckle, a lot of elderly people. And elderly people don't see well, and maybe their hand-eye coordination isn't what it could be. So we try to teach them the simplest, best knot that they could tie without getting confused.
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of times when it comes down to just having the patience and really paying attention. You know, it is a lot of it is just based on the individual. You know, some people are very focused and detail oriented, and some are not as much. But days like today are the perfect opportunity. And the more you practice tying those knots when you're not on the water and in a situation where you need to rush to tie it, the better you're going to be able to do when you're out there and your line breaks off and you want to hurry up and you know, re-rig so that you can get another bait or another lure back out there and take advantage of a hot bite.
Yes. Well, you know, you can teach them a fairly basic knot and have them go home, sit down and watch TV and just tie knots and look at them, study them to make sure that they're drawn up properly. But some folks, I don't know how they've gotten past it all these years, because they'll come in and tell me, well, I've been fishing ever since I was 5 years old, and the guy's like 82, and he still can't tie a knot that's worth a damn. So.
Yeah, well, I know that we've got, once this rain moves past us, I think there's going to be some really good fishing opportunities. I know we mentioned some of the spillways and the weirs for sure on the freshwater side will start to light up. There'll be some really good opportunities there. And I know in the river, you were mentioning there's definitely going to be some good action going on.
The North Cape is around the Burnt Store Road area, and mm-hmm. a couple of the canal systems leading up to Burnt Store Road, they have weirs in there, and the fish are going to go nuts in that area there with the water coming over those weirs. It's going to be really, really good fishing. Just, in fact, seeing what I'm seeing outside, because I'm seeing some cloud break up and everything, if you're north of the river, I'd grab a rod and reel and head out. Going to be good.
There you heard it from Dave himself. Get out and catch a few. Yeah, well, and I know a lot of times too, you know, it's hopefully the example that people are setting when they get out there with their families and with the kids, you know, are good ones. They're teaching the kids to respect the fish, being gentle with the fish, handling the fish in the right way. You know, I know a lot of times kids are a little reluctant to hold the fish, but you can kind of ease them into it by just having them maybe touch the fish with a wet finger initially instead of just grabbing onto it and holding the whole fish all at one time. But
a lot of them like to play in the live well.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
When they get bored, bait. If you don't see him in the bow of the boat fishing, look back by the live well. He's back there messing around with your live shiners, you know.
Yep, they love catching bait, playing with the bait, investigating the bait, and looking, paying attention to what's going on in the ecosystem. And I don't know, I just remember when I was a kid, one of the most exciting parts of going fishing with my grandpa was he would make us go out and get worms. So he had a compost pile, and it was our responsibility, if we wanted to go fishing, to go out there with the Folgers red coffee can and collect as many worms as we could so that we had enough for our fishing trip that day. And I think, you know, making all of that part of the process is just, you know, those, it's part of the memories. It's part of the whole thing.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yep.
So, well, they're playing our tune, Dave.
Golly, day.
I know. Well... Have a great morning. I'm sure you guys are still going to be busy and people are going to be popping in the shop this morning. And we will catch up with you next Saturday morning.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Take care, Dave.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. That is Dave Wester with Lear's Economy Tackle. If they don't have it, you don't need it. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back. That ribbon of a highway, I saw.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, online at ESPNSWFL.com. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio on this rainy Saturday morning with my guest co-host, Clyde Tort, past president of the Windstar Fishing Club and the founder of the Take a Grandkid Fishing program at Windstar. And we are talking about all things family fishing in honor of National Fishing and Boating Week, which runs through June 12th. So we do have some free fishing days coming up. I know that this was actually supposed to be a license-free, I think it was a freshwater fishing weekend. And there's probably not a lot of people getting out on the water today without the rain, with all the rain that we've had. But hopefully next weekend people can get out there. And you can go ahead and head on over to takemefishing.org to check out the free fishing days in the state of Florida. Head on over to myfwc.com and take advantage of those license-free fishing days. Of course, all the regulations and bag limits and length limits, all of that still applies. So, Clyde, I know we were talking a little bit about the big jump in participation amongst kids during this pandemic. And, what do you think there's some of the ways that kids are benefiting firsthand from the time spent outdoors with family and friends on the water? And then I wanted to ask you what you think maybe we could be doing to keep those kids engaged and keep them involved. Like, say, if they don't have a parent who fishes, but they learn how to fish at a fishing clinic or a fishing derby, what do you think we can be doing to keep them involved and engaged in the sport?
Well, yeah, first your comment about getting the kids out fishing. We all know as parents and adults, we see our young people that can't put down the phone or can't put down their electronic game. And, we're concerned about them getting addicted to electronic toys and their cell phones. Mm-hmm. And one way to get them away from that or give them a break is to get them out fishing. And
absolutely.
So that's a tremendous benefit. It's almost a therapeutic approach to get them outside and get them involved in nature. In terms of encouraging them.
And just keeping them involved, because I think it takes more than just, that initial touch point. You're getting them out there on the water, once or maybe twice, but keeping them consistently involved and wanting to get back out on the water is important, too.
One thing I do in Windstar, I usually take a bike ride or a walk every morning and sometimes in the afternoon. If I see anyone fishing in our ponds, and we're fortunate, we have 22 beautiful ponds in Windstar, and they're all loaded with fish. If I see anyone fishing, I always stop and ask them, how's fishing? What are you catching? What are you using? And I usually have a couple rubber lizards in my pocket or a couple fish hooks in my pocket. And if I see what they're using and think I can help them, I make suggestions, or I make suggestions on exactly where to fish. If you go over there and fish behind that weir, you'll find that there's a school of cichlids hung up right now, and you'll catch a few. So it's a matter of encouraging people that you see. It's a matter of letting people know that you're willing to take them fishing, and that's what the Take a Grand a Windstar Grandkid Fishing program all came about, because as I would talk to people, I would find that they didn't know how to fish, but they had grandkids who wanted to try to fish, and I would say, I'll take them, just come with them.
Yeah, but for anybody, knowing that they've got somebody available that, they can ask questions of, or, sure, they've got some kind of resource. I mean, and hopefully they learn how to be self-sufficient with tying their knots and baiting their hooks so that they can get out there and continue to fish on their own.
Right. And the other thing is they come back with, well, I don't have any equipment. And I always say, I have a lot of equipment and I will provide the equipment. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know where to get the bait. I'll get the bait. I take care of that also. So all you have to do is show up and I will take care of everything. So I think that attitude is one way of encouraging them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just, keeping them involved, and when they do get out there on the water, letting them know, hey, you know what? This is a learning process. If you lose a fish, if, your cast ends up in a tree, that is all part of the process.
Absolutely.
And even to those of us who have been on the water for years and years and years, it still happens. So it's okay to make mistakes and just really, you know, to be out there and enjoy the whole overall experience. It's just so important to keep them feeling encouraged and to celebrate even the little things.
Absolutely.
Even when they, you know, put the worm on the hook the right way, to congratulate them for that and make sure they feel supported and encouraged about the things that they're doing really well. So
right.
I think
a use of praise is really good. And also providing excuses. If they lose a fish, hey, that's okay. We all lose fish, and you have to lose some fish to learn how to catch
yep.
the fish.
It's so true. It's all part of it. And you know what? We have Bruna Cairncott with the Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation. She is standing by on line one. So we're going to grab her call, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the 20th anniversary celebration of National Fishing and Boating Week and some things that we can all be doing to help get families out there on the water, and some activities that folks can be doing if they're in the rain inside, you know, in this rainy weather, and they want to learn more about fishing or plan some trips for this summer. So I'm going to grab Bruna's call. Hey, Bruna, good morning.
Hi, Debbie. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It is so great to hear from you. And happy National Fishing and Boating Week. It's the 20th
Yay.
Anniversary, so this is exciting.
It is. It is. It's very exciting for everybody, especially for us. We are this week trying to make all the efforts that we can to promote the conservation aspect that that fishing brings to the country, right? Because you know that fishing is the only activity, outdoor activity, that brings 100% back to the environment. So that's a big thing. So we are celebrating that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that the Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation developed the award-winning Take Me Fishing campaign and the associated website, takemefishing.org, to help build awareness around fishing, boating, and conservation, like you mentioned. And there's a ton of resources. So I know the kids, we were talking about earlier, the kids are now out of school. A lot of them got out down here this past week. Families are planning summer trips. So you guys have so many resources on your website. And I know we can probably talk about a few of them. The Places to Boat and Fish map is certainly one of them. Correct, Bruna?
Correct. And thank you for that, Debbie. Basically, like takemefishing.org is really about having all the resources that we can to help families to get on the water nearby and with different aspects. So if you go to takemefishing.org and National Fishing and Boating Week, we have tons of ideas of how to enjoy this week and also throughout the year. Of course, we all know there are free fishing days. They're the best way to give fishing a try because you don't have to go fishing with a fishing license on public waters, right?
Yep.
And mainly, it's about the entire country during National Fishing and Boating Week from June 4th to June 12th that you don't need a fishing license to drop a line. And this goes throughout the entire year, but some states have like different dates. And I believe Florida is completely free fishing week today and this week. But as you mentioned, we do have an interactive map on our website that is super easy. You just plug in your zip code or whatever you are, and it shows up all the best places, all the best public bodies of water for you to fish, and also give you all the shops for, you know, to get tackle and everything that you need, like, nearby. And we also have a huge amount, a collection of how-to videos on our YouTube channel. And as you mentioned, like, it's raining, we cannot go outside. There are tons of YouTube channels.
Tons of resources.
Correct, to learn how to tie knots, techniques, and get inspired for your next trip.
Yeah, on both the saltwater and the freshwater side. So you, I know you've got sections on the website for rigging, gear, bait, tackle, all of that for both freshwater and saltwater fishing. And then there's correct. Also a fish species explorer. So for kids and families who are learning fish identification, if they want to understand which types of fish can be found in different waterways, or if you're planning a family vacation this summer to another state to go fishing, the nice thing about takemefishing.org is that you can go there and there's links to all the different states and you can click on that state and it's going to tell you, going to lead you to other, you know, websites where there's information about your getting your fishing license, your boat registrations if needed, where to find local fishing spots and, you know, what kind of fish may be in those waterways. So just a wealth of information.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned that, we are very excited. So, you know, like every year we do something different to celebrate National Fishing and Boating Week. And this year we're actually going on a fishing and boating trip in Washington, in Seattle, in partnership with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. And we're very excited because we're taking some media there and some influencers, and we're going to do fun and new things. We're going to take these great women fly fishing, salmon fishing, and we're also going to do a boat tour with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife to learn about all their initiatives for conservation around the area. So that's exciting. We are going to a different part of the country to explore and showcase all the great conservation work that they are doing there.
That is so awesome, Bruna. So folks can probably find, I'm sure you guys are going to be posting on social media about that trip. So
yep.
Remind people where they can go to follow Take Me Fishing on social media and what hashtags they can use if they're posting fish pictures.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Go to Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You are at Take Me Fishing, and we will be posting with the hashtag National Fishing and Boating Week 2022, Women Making Waves, and the water is open, because we are also promoting the diversity aspect of fishing, which is amazing.
Yes, and so important. Well, Bruna, I know that you are busy, busy, busy this week, and I know you're a mom too, so you've got lots on your plate, but I want to thank you so much for your time this morning and for all that you do with RBFF to raise awareness about the importance of conservation and retention in our sport and getting the next generation out on the water. And I look forward to hopefully seeing you in Orlando for ICAST soon.
Oh, yeah, I will be there, and I'm excited to see you again. And thank you so much for this opportunity, Debbie. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and pass along some information to your audience. It's really an honor for us, so thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you so much for your time, Bruna, and I'll see you next month.
Yay!
Have a great weekend, and I can't wait to follow on social media to see the ladies' fishing trip out in Washington. That's going to be some awesome stuff.
Yes.
Have a great weekend. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bruna. Bye-bye. That is Bruna Caryncott calling in with the Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation. And some really great resources there. For those of you who are not familiar with takemefishing.org, definitely check that out. And before we head to a break, we are going to be giving away a $25 gift card to the Twisted Fork in Port Charlotte. And they are located in Burt's Black Widow Harley-Davidson dealership, featuring burgers, pizza, beer, and drink specials. So we're going to take caller number 9.
Free food!
239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Caller number 9. And in the meantime, we're going to head off to another break. So you're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Captain Bobby, sitting all alone, corner of the bar, just a mind in his own. Young tourists are tickling their bones, bones down, bones down, funny bones.
Lido missed the boat that day. He left the shack.
You're listening. listening to Real Talk Radio online at ESPNSWFL.com. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host Clyde Torp, past president of the Windstar Fishing Club and the founder of the Take a Grandkid Fishing program in the Windstar community. Clyde, how's it going over there in the coho seat?
It's going great. Thank you for inviting me. I'm enjoying this immensely. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, you're listening to all the reports from the local guides. You picking up a few tips?
I am. I'm making a few notes, a few places I have to visit.
Hey, by the way, congratulations to a David from North Fort Myers. He was caller 9. He's got 25 bucks
David.
At the Twisted Fork. You got to love any restaurant called the Twisted Fork. That tells you that it's probably pretty good.
And I hear they have a boat ramp that's pretty close to the restaurant,
so
too.
So there you go.
Perfect. There you go. Launch the boat and stop for lunch afterwards.
We've got one more to give away next hour.
Yes, so stay tuned. Another $25 gift card to the Twisted Fork. All right, Clyde, so we talked a little bit about keeping kids engaged. And obviously with the program that you started in the Windstar community, I know that the program outline that you created, that's actually up online. So if other communities wanted to try to pattern something similar to what you've done down at Windstar, they can access that information. But if not, they could probably email John Blackwood as your current president of the club, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Or me, either one of us, and we'd be glad to discuss any details and share experiences with them.
Do you mind sharing your email address on air for folks who might want to reach out?
No, I'd be glad to. It's Clyde, C-L-Y-D-E, underscore, Torp, T-O-R-P, at msn.com.
Perfect. Awesome. And Clyde, you know, the thing that I was really wondering when we were having this conversation this morning a little bit earlier was, you know, I'm sure that throughout the course of the 3 years that you started this program, you've seen some of these kids come and fish the ponds with you and grow tremendously in terms of their abilities and skills as anglers. And then also, you know, probably a few who weren't really accustomed to fishing, hadn't tried fishing before, and then got out on the ponds fishing with you. And then you've seen them come back, you know, a couple years later, and they're almost, you know, avid anglers at this point. So tell me about some of the progress that you've seen these kids make over the past three years.
Captain Evan, that's absolutely true. There's been a number of grandkids that I've taken probably the last 3 years, and they tell their grandparents or their parents that one thing they want to do when they come to Naples is fish with Clyde in the ponds. And then I get a call and I say, oh, sure. And how is so-and-so doing? And then I ask them how they're doing with school and everything. And if they've been doing any fishing back home.
Yeah.
And often I find that they do. So that makes me very proud and very pleased. Often the first year, you know, they don't know how to cast. They don't know how to put the bait on the hook, how to know when the fish bites and all the rest of it. And I go through all of that very patiently with them. By the end of the first time I take them out, they're often casting on their own and doing pretty well. By the next year, I'll put my bait on. I want to do it myself. I'll take the hook out. Let me do it. So, it's very gratifying to see them progress.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and looking at the outline for your program, I mean, you've put together some great goals and specifics. So the kids are going to learn how to tie. They learn how to tie knots, bait hooks, when the fish bites, how to set the hook, how to land the fish, how to safely handle the fish and remove the hook, posing for pictures, important stuff for those memories, how to release the fish to prevent injury to the fish, proper catch and release, the names of the fish that are in the ponds, the names of the different species, depths of the ponds, and other things that live there. And I know you touched a little bit on some of the littoral zone vegetation, which I know littoral is a big word. Can you explain what that means with regards to the vegetation?
Right. The plants along the edge of the ponds, in Windstar, we have right now we have 8 different littorals, 8 different species, like the spike rush and the bulrush and the bull tongue arrowhead, for example, or pickerelweed. Pickerelweed right now is in bloom. It's absolutely beautiful. We have some wonderful long stretches of it along our ponds. It's just gorgeous. And I am now on the Building and Grounds Committee, and I was meeting with the fellow that's in charge of pond maintenance this week, and I was explaining how I felt that the Windstar ponds provide a unique opportunity for some extraordinary landscaping through what I call pondscaping. That is what plants you use both in and around the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, and teaching the kids all about the different aquatic vegetation, that's all part of fishing, learning to identify different types of vegetation, because obviously a lot of times the fish are going to be hanging around different types of aquatic vegetation based on the time of year and based on the conditions. So, you know, you're probably teaching them where to look for the fish and where to
Absolutely.
Cast their line, the best places and all that stuff.
Absolutely. I explained how those plants are where the little ones live. The bigger ones are hiding just on the other side, hoping the little ones come out for a bite to eat. And yes, I do. I tell the kids not only about the plants, but also the little plants that live along the edge of the pond, like mm-hmm. like the bacopa, which is a mossy kind of plant that's actually used for treating dementia in certain parts of the world. But there's so many interesting things in that environment, the trees around the edges, the plants, the matter of fact, we're thinking about putting some water lilies in our ponds right now, and that's one of the things I was talking about this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, talking about the vegetation and just what the kids should be looking for when they're out there. I mean, obviously, that's one way to keep them engaged. But do you, you know, when you take these kids out, Clyde, given the fact that a lot of them are new, I'm imagining that you limit the time of the fishing experience, right, to say an hour or two. I think sometimes people think, oh, well, you know, I like being out there on the water. Me personally, if it's a parent or a grandparent or, you know, somebody else who's accustomed to fishing on a regular basis, we think to ourselves, oh, you know, I could be out here for hours fishing. But with the kids, I personally feel like initially you don't want to overwhelm them. You don't want them to be out there, you know, and when the bite is really slow, because then they do get bored. So limiting the first couple of trips to maybe an hour or two is generally a good idea from my experience when you're fishing from shore.
Captain Debbie, you're absolutely right. And it's not the clock. It's I observe the kids when they start to get bored. I say, well,
you just watch their, take the cues from them.
Yeah, maybe it's time we call it quits today. We could try it again. So, yeah, and if at the same time, I've had kids that have been out for 2 hours, and I say, well, you know, I think the bite's almost over, and they haven't had a bite for 15 minutes. They say, no, I want to keep fishing. I say, well, let's try it again another day. So, and this is my own opinion. I think a lot of people that don't fish and don't like the fish and say that they've tried it and they didn't like it, they got bored with it. And one of the ways not to get bored is, you know, don't keep them out that long. Small dose at the beginning.
Yeah. Kind of leave them anxious for that or eager for the next fishing experience.
Yes.
So to speak, you know, kind of leave them always wanting more and leaving them on a, you know, leaving the whole experience on a high note, I really think it is key too. And obviously sometimes the bite slows down and kids, you know, they do get fidgety, but I think just like we were saying earlier, you know, showing them different things in the ecosystem, letting them look in the water. If they've got a little minnow net, they can, you know, look at the different bait fish in the net just to identify what different types of bait fish might be in that area or what the fish might be feeding on in terms of forage. All that stuff is exciting to them. Sometimes they like that more than they like fishing.
Right.
And I think it's okay. Embrace that. Let them, if they're into that and that's what they want to do, I think it's important to let them do that.
Right. I've seen little kids who get very excited about using the little net in the bait box and getting the next minnow. They'd rather do that than catch a fish, and that's fine.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, you let them just experience it and have fun with it. That's really the most important thing. And like I said, celebrating all of those small achievements too. That's really important. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is, you know, given the fact that we've got this rainy day ahead of us here, or hopefully it'll be clearing up later, but the fact that it's definitely been a rainy morning, the Florida-friendly angler course that we talked about a couple weeks ago when Mike Sipos with the Collier County Sea Grant program was in, that is now live and online. So if people want to get online, that is a free online course. It's for new and experienced anglers who are looking to educate themselves on fisheries management and increase their fishing skills and practices that help ensure fishing opportunities for the future. There's three modules, and it covers environmental ethics, best fishing practices, and fisheries management. So people can just go. That is, there's a link to it on FWC's website. There's a link for the Florida Friendly Fishing Guide course. So you can go and take that. And I think that's another great thing that you can be doing on rainy days just to help increase your knowledge. And we've also had quite a few text messages rolling in here. So I'm going to get to those and then we're going to head off to another break. So we got a text message that came in from Art the Bills fan. He sent us a picture of a Mayan cichlid that he caught, I'm guessing earlier this week, based on the look of the blue skies in the background there. And then we got a text message from our good friend Jerry Toporek with the Fish with a Hero Project Healing Waters program. He has been doing some art therapy and drawn some pictures of some crabs and shrimp and some fish. Awesome stuff, Jerry. Awesome, awesome stuff. And then we got a text from Monkey Head, one of our Sheeman and Shepherd texters, who said what Dave was talking about guys not getting it. He bought a cast net from Lear's. He never threw one. They showed him how to throw it many times. He couldn't get it. His lady did it three times in a really nice perfect circle. So there you go. Thanks for sharing that, Monkey Head. And then we got a text from Bob. He's listening from Gaylord, Michigan. He said he's off the water due to the cold front and the winds, but enjoying the program, and he'll be practicing knots too. Thanks, Bob, for texting in. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. And then our friend Jerry Toporek sent in another text, and he said, you can learn a lot just by listening. And he wants to know, question for Clyde. So, Clyde, you can answer this really quick before we head off to break. What's the oldest thing in your tackle box that you simply refuse to give away or put on a shelf?
Oh, what a great question. I'm glad you asked that. I have a Dalton Special that I've had for 50 years that I caught a beautiful trophy bass. Well, I thought it was a trophy bass up in Wisconsin. I tried it down here. I thought I lost it. I waded out in the weeds and retrieved it from the bulrushes, much to my wife's dismay. And I've never fished with it since. But that's my favorite.
But you're hanging on to it.
I'm hanging on to it.
Yeah. Awesome. That's great. Great question, Jerry. All right. We're heading off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Everybody's got a place they go when the old battery gets running low. I'm a sucker for the sand and sea. If I had my way, hey, I'd always be way up high in a coconut tree.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.